Good to be with you this morning. I'm going to be sharing just a brief devotional this morning. The kids are timing me, so it'll be on time. So this passage is a very familiar passage to each of us probably, and this event in the life of Jesus is. So sometimes when we have these passages and these events and we know them well, we sometimes maybe miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. So hopefully we can gain more things as the Holy Spirit opens this passage to us. So let's go ahead and read this passage today. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, and saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let's go ahead and pray as we get into his word. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can continue to learn from it. Pray that we would just learn new things today, that you would encourage us in it. You would cause us to grow closer to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the sermon, I said, "O you of little faith." Actually, I wanted to put in there, "O me of little faith," because many times when I preach to myself, and that's when I really learn. But clearly, I have learned significantly in terms of my degree of faith and where that needs to be improved on. So one of the first things I wanted us to look at is, why were the disciples in the boat in the first place? And if we go back to verse 18 of this chapter, we can answer part of that question. It says, "Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea." So clearly, they're in the boat because that's what Jesus had directed them to do. And he wanted to be removed from the crowd, he says. But before they actually get into the boat, there is the delay from the two men that Daryl spoke about last week, where he speaks about when we were encouraged to count the cost of following Jesus. I don't think that delay, of course, was accidental. I think Jesus had that planned. He wanted the disciples to also hear that admonition of counting the cost of following Christ, because they were about to see real life what it was to count the cost of following him. So, verse 23, as we read in the passage there, and then this verse, in these two verses, we can see that Jesus is actually setting the agenda here. He is the one controlling the direction the disciples are going. This situation in particular is not a "God is my co-pilot." It is "God is my pilot." God is the captain of my ship. We need to learn to get into the boat with Jesus, with him as our captain. Also, as we look at this event in the light of how we follow Jesus, I think it is super important to understand the fact that following Jesus is never out of step with his word. This is especially important as we remember, when we hear supposed teachers, preachers of the word, and other believers asking the body of Christ to follow them as they teach what is not scriptural. So, Jesus and the disciples, they push off from shore, and they go, and as they go, this tremendous storm occurs, causing the waves to crash over the boat, over the sides of the boat, and the disciples start to fear. The scriptures really don't tell us how far they were away from shore, but it was long enough for Jesus to fall asleep, right? So it was a little bit of time because Jesus was sleeping at that point. As you're aware, the Sea of Galilee has mountains around it, and those mountains make it so that these storms at night were pretty common because of the wind currents that came off the mountain. But this storm in particular must have been very severe for many of the disciples who were fishermen to even be fearful. So this wasn't just one of those typical Sea of Galilee storms. This was something that was quite severe. So the other thing we have to remember is before this, prior to this, the disciples had seen Jesus for several days now, healing people of many diseases. They were casting out demons. He was casting out demons. They were seeing him healing demon-possessed people. And just before this, as we had learned, he had given them this admonition. He was actually talking to the two men, but it was actually, they were listening as well. This admonition of counting the cost of following him. So this is kind of leading up to this event and kind of actually helped Jesus teach them while they were in the boat. So we know from this passage how all the disciples reacted to the storm. They became terrified, they were in a panic, and in that panic, they awakened Jesus so he could save them from the storm. I'm not sure what they thought Jesus was going to do, actually, in that storm, because when he did calm the waves and he calmed the wind, they were amazed that he actually did that. So if they thought he was going to do that, why were they amazed that he did that? They should have known that he would do that. But when they awakened Jesus, it's very interesting to see how he dealt with them. When he was awakened, he knew immediately that their faith was weak. And he did the loving thing at that time. He told them of their weak faith. Then he calmed the storm. So you see the order of that? He told them of their faith being weak, then he calmed the storm. So first, he took care of the disciples' true need, their weak faith. Then he addressed their perceived need, what they thought was their need, and it was the storm. The disciples were correct up to that point in following Jesus. They were following his lead into the boat. And we should do the same in life. We need to follow his lead and direction into his boat. Now, sometimes that boat is not as clear to us as it was to the disciples. The disciples had a direct word from Jesus, hey, we're going to the other side of the lake. And sometimes it's a little less clear to us. But I think, though, as we allow more and more control by the Holy Spirit, we are more apt to follow his lead more consistently. And know this, when the path we are walking on is not in line with his word, that path clearly is not from him. And I would say, don't even waste your time praying about that path or choice. It's a waste of time. You know clearly from the word of God, that's not his path, so don't even pray about it. I think the disciples had three choices when the storm came up. And I think we have three choices when we get into his boat and the storms come. You know, when the devil throws his fiery darts at us, when he causes storms and troubles to come into our lives, to come into our families, to come into our marriages, when he tries to distract us from the gospel with difficult situations where we're in the middle of ministry, like in sports camp or pioneer clubs, when he points out areas of past errors, past faults that we've had, and he tries to shame us in that. When he causes us to focus on quirks or personality traits of others in the body of Christ and focus on that rather than on loving them. So when Jesus tells the disciples they have little faith, he is connecting their level of faith with their choice in the midst of the storm. And likewise, our level of faith will help determine which of the three choices we're going to review we will pursue. But remember, he is the one that increases our faith as we yield our will to his will. So there's that balance in terms of we need to be at work, he says, work out your faith with fear and trembling, Paul says, but he is the one that provides that increase in our faith. So let's go through these three choices. The first choice they had was to turn back. The disciples could have tried to row back to more shallow water where the waves were not as big, the water was not as deep, where it was safer. We do the same thing at times when we see that venturing out on God's plan can be a bit daunting, a bit terrifying for us, so we want to go back. Many times we might say, I can't do that, and we miss God's big picture. Yes, we can't do that, but he can. I think what we've gone through as a church over this past year is kind of a bit of that. And there's been times where we've been tempted to kind of look back and kind of go back to times where things were more stable, more set, and we knew kind of what was coming along the road. But that is not God's way to go back. God wants us to move forward with his plan, in his plan. So the second choice they had, and we have, is to kind of do what the disciples did. They fell apart, right? When the storm came, they thought the boat would sink. They thought that all of them would die. They became paralyzed with fear. So they really couldn't do what they were supposed to do. In the same way, we also can fall apart and in fear ask God why he brought us into the middle of the storm. We doubt his ability to take us through the storm, and instead we want him to cause us to avoid the storm completely. And when a storm comes into our path, we automatically many times assume that we are going in the wrong direction altogether. We should know that when we are following Jesus' lead in the boat, the devil is going to be on his attack. He is going to try to throw us off track from what God is directing us on. But even though the disciples chose this second choice, this one of fear, this one of falling apart, Jesus was gentle with them, and yet he was also corrective with them when he responded, "You men of little faith." They did not realize yet at this point until after he did this, but even not really until his resurrection, who he really was. That he actually was the one who created all of the wind. He created the water. He created the fact that these things could come together and cause a storm. And as creator of these things, he had full control over them. And then the third choice is, as an associate, as we grow in him, we will choose this choice more and more. And this is when Satan tries to obstruct our path in following Jesus, we acknowledge that there is an obstruction. We acknowledge that there is a storm in the way. We are not acting as if things are fine and dandy. Right? We acknowledge this. But we come to Jesus, we come to him with his peace, we come to him with his calm, and we ask him not to remove the storm, but we ask him to clear the path so we can proceed on that path that he has directed us in. We know that he is the one that enables us to overcome that and to proceed through. My daughter Rachel sent me actually a text this week, a meme, and said, and she didn't know I was preaching on this, but it was actually kind of neat. Said, "I asked God, why are you taking me through troubled water this time? He replied, because your enemies can't swim." Remember, Jesus had ordered the disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. This was his will. Therefore, they could not fail in going to the other side of the lake. Right? They did not realize this yet. The boat could not sink. All right, the boat could not sink and drown them all because Jesus had said, we're going to the other side of the lake. That was his will. And in time, the disciples would realize this more and more as they saw Jesus' life and his teaching. So when God wills it, we cannot fail. We need to move forward with no doubt. The devil wants to obstruct, he wants to interfere, he wants to limit, and he wants to destroy. Jesus wants to redeem our path as we follow him. And as we close this chapter, I want to point out just one verse kind of quickly here at the end. And this is chapter 8, verse 29. And this is where Jesus, he gets to the other side and he's met with two men who are demon possessed in the cemetery, the Gerasene cemetery there. And verse 29 really is the demons crying out to Jesus. And they cried out saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? And so it's kind of interesting. You wonder if after the disciples had just seen Jesus do this incredible miracle, if they were kind of in the background whispering to each other, those demons don't know who they're messing with. But the demons actually come back and show the disciples that actually they do know who Jesus was and what he could do. They already made their choice eons before to reject Jesus as Lord when they decided to leave heaven and follow Satan. And this knowledge and the fact that they were there, the fact that there would be a reckoning for Satan and his demons in the end is very clear by the fact that they say, are you bringing the end, this time of torment, to us now? And they will be cast into hell for eternal torment at that point, at the end. They were aware of this. But they don't know when the end will be, and the devil doesn't know when the end will be. They can only watch the times as we can watch the times. They cannot, the devil cannot read our minds, know our thoughts as Jesus can, all right? So there is clearly a limit to what they can do. Jesus didn't even address their questions here, all right? He doesn't even address it. He cast out the demons from those two men. He frees them from their oppression and their bondage. And he shows power, his power over even the demonic world at this point. But he also wants to show his disciples. His main focus is on those two men. The people from the town were angry. They were angry because it destroyed their livelihood, destroyed those swine, and it took a lot of money from them. Jesus was focused on those two men. He was focused on the fact that he wanted to save them from this life they were in. So as we follow his lead, as we follow Jesus' lead, there will be people all along our way that he wants us to impact for his kingdom. Sometimes it's a small thing that we will do. Sometimes it's a more significant thing that we will do. But we should not be living in fear or be terrified by the needs that are in front of us. We should not turn back and say, oh, I can't handle this. I need to go back to more stable water. But we should press on with our faith firmly placed in him, knowing that he will bring us through. Let's go ahead and pray as the praise team comes up. Lord God, we thank you for this this story of what you did on that sea. And we pray that as we follow your lead, as we get into the boat and follow what you want us to be doing, that when things come up that are difficult, when storms come up, when difficulties come into our lives, that we will not be fearful, that we will not desire to turn back into more familiar waters, but that we will press on. We'll press on because of faith in you, knowing that you have gone before us. And pray that we would be a church that's known for that, that's willing to step out of our comfort zone, that's willing to meet needs of those around us. We thank you for your strength in us. We thank you for your patience with us. Continue to mold us into your body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.